What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton. Welcome to another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. You know, I got a few things to talk about. You know, let's jump right into it. Talk about this big blockbuster NBA trade, man. Blake Griffin's traded to the Detroit Pistons. You know, he was traded last night, or yesterday, I should say. Many found it surprising, including myself. I didn't see this as happening. You know, he signed a huge deal in the offseason. He's going to make tons of money on his deal. Like, he's going to start making upwards of like 34 million the last few years of his deal. I see this as weird. You know, they gave him all this money. He could have walked in the offseason last year. Maybe who knows where he would have gone. He might have tried to go back home to Oklahoma City. You know, he's from Oklahoma. That would have been great to see that happen. If that would have been, you know, possible. Just looking at it right now, I'm shocked. I can't believe you'd sign him to that big of a deal. It's not like he's in the last year of his deal with some uncertainty going into the summer. That's why I'm just kind of like, whoa. I look at it as like he's not the franchise player they thought he was going to be. You know, they put up the presentation. They did everything they could do to kind of lure him back. You know, he had his boy DeAndre there. And you figure that they'd build around him. They'd make something happen. You know, but I guess it's just kind of like Lob City. It's the end of Lob City. You know, CP3 is gone. Blake's gone. Now DeAndre's like the last man standing. But, you know, for me, looking at him, you know, again, he's not the franchise player everybody thought he was going to be. Because if I'm paying you $30 million a year, man, you best believe I need to get out the second round. So I feel like this is just them saying, look, we didn't have the belief in you, and we're going to blow this team up. You know, I know everybody says the right things when you let these press releases out. But to me, I know Jerry West is sitting there. He's one of those advisors. But he's sitting there. He's working his magic, man. I know Lauren Frank, who's the GM of the team now. He's not doing all these things by himself. This is like something that has Jerry West's hand, you know, his blueprint all on it, you know. And I can see him doing something like this. Tell him, hey, we're going to blow this team up. We're going to get some draft picks back, and we're going to build through the draft. And I think this is what's happening right now. You know, the Clippers received Avery Bradley, who's going to be a free agent after the season, so we got to see how that works out. They also got Tobias Harris, who's a solid forward. He can play 3 and 4. And they got Boban Marjanovic, so he's a big man. He's getting about 6 and 5 a game, so, you know, he's good. He's a space eater. They got a first and second round pick. Detroit also got Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed. So, like I mentioned, the Clippers are going to be cleaning the house now. After this deal, the franchise, you know, it's like he's the franchise player. He was the franchise player. You know, they were excited when he came in his rookie year. They didn't win much. They got CP3, and it was like the birth of Lob City. You got two big guys, Blake and DeAndre, running the court, running wild, you know, and then doing what they have to do. And then now it's all over. It's kind of like over in a blur. And for me, it's just, you know, it sucks, you know, but that's a part of the business. You know, LeBron made something clear today, right? And LeBron said, look, when a star leaves, he gets a snake label. And that's true. You know, but when a team's trade a player, it's kind of like, oh, it's okay. It's given. I've never sat there and vilified a player for leaving. You're a free agent for a reason, right? You're a free agent. You can do what you want to do. I didn't get mad at Kevin Durant for leaving. I really didn't, you know? Is it because he's doing it? I didn't get mad at LeBron when he left. It was like, oh, shit, it was more shocking than anything. But the way I look at these deals is like, look, you give me free agency for a reason. We put this in a collective bargaining agreement for a reason. You don't own my rights. I own my own rights. But when a team does it, it's just like, okay. Then I think this is going to have a lot of players thinking like, well, look, I'm going to get the no trade clause. You figure I'm signing a 5-year deal here. You know, I'm not going to get traded your first year. It's like, well, damn, I got to get kicked to the curb. You know what I mean? So, you know, but listen, the Pistons, you know, they got Blake Griffin and they got Andre Drummond in the front court now. They should be formidable. You know, Andre Drummond's another high riser. You know, he doesn't jump as high as DeAndre, but he gets up as well. So they should be fun to watch. You know, they kind of struggled a lot. They've been dealing with injuries. And I know they got to get people in that new arena in Detroit. It's a pretty nice arena. They got to fill it up. So you got some star power there. You know, Stan Van Gundy's got to save his job. You know, he said it was worth the risk, man. So it was like, let me go ahead. Let me make this trade. Let me do what I have to do. And again, it makes perfect sense. Why not go ahead, make this trade? Let's see what we can get. Avery Bradley probably wasn't going to stay. You know, there's going to be some shuffling in Detroit. But I think if you got a good nucleus with Blake and you got Andre Drummond over there. So that's a decent front court. Get some more pieces around and they could be formidable in the East. Again, I say make the right trades. Look, you got to get people to fill these seats in. I'm just surprised he's gone, honestly speaking, because I thought the Clippers would build around him. You know, I thought there was going to be somebody that held on to at least the rest of his career. You know, he's not even 30 yet. You know, hold on to him. And then if you realize, like, hey, we're not going to win much, we're going to let you go. But it was surprising nonetheless. But, I mean, the Clippers may go back to being the old Clippers, you know. And, hey, they may have a new coach next year because the way things are looking, Doc Rivers may not make it out of this ordeal either. But, I mean, Blake's in Detroit now. We can't do much about it. So, sit back, relax, and see how it works out for both teams. So, we shall see. Let's stick with the NBA because we got a few NBA topics to talk about, man. But let's talk about these injuries, man. You know, there's a few players that are injured, obviously. You know, injuries are a part of the game, man. But, you know, last week we see DeMarcus Cousins. He going down. We went down with a torn Achilles. And it sucks for, you know, it sucks for me. It sucks for him. And I hurt me personally. I hurt to see this happen to him because, you know, here's a guy who's balling out of control. 25, 12, and 5. 7 feet. You know, I don't care what anybody says about him. Yeah, he has a temperament. You know, he can be temperamental at times, and he can be a little off the hook at times with his attitude sometimes. But look, he's got the New Orleans, and when everybody thought it would fail, it's been working really well. You know, two big guys that learn how to play together, learn how to play off each other. It's working out phenomenal. I love the way they play with each other, how they complement each other. And, you know, he was on a huge payday this offseason. You know, it was rumors that, hey, I thought he would go to Washington and play with his boy, John Wall, you know, get that Kentucky reunion going. I thought that's one of the things that would happen. Of course, you hear the Lakers. You hear the Laker rumors happening. You know, for me personally, I say, look, he's this young, 7 to 10 months into his Achilles. He's hurt now. He could kind of be ready, but I'd push it to December just to be safe. I think he's gonna come back bigger and better from it. I mean, good thing that has happened now. Get it out the way. You know, Dominique Wilkins came back from Achilles injury, and this was back in the early 90s. Medicine wasn't as advanced. We didn't really have the technology that we have and things of that nature. So I think he'll be fine. You know, Kobe was able to come back. And when he came back, he was okay. But it was other injuries that kind of nicked him up that kind of made it like, look, it's not even fun anymore. But I think for him to be as young as he is, to kind of have the drive that he has, I don't think it affects his free agency either. I think teams are still going to flock to him. You know, so I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to decide to say, hey, let me stay here. Or is it the point now where he's like, look, I know I'm not even 30 yet, but I gotta win. I want to win. And so, I mean, if he goes to L.A., which I think can happen, the Lakers may be on to something and they can make this happen, you know. But, you know, speaking of his boy John Wall, he's out for 2 months now, possibly up to 6 to 8 weeks. He's getting a procedure on his knee that's done. You know, it's called a clean-out procedure, you know. So we look at that, and it's like the Wizards could be hurt. They could be harmed down the stretch because, you know, they got some decent players, but John Wall's pound for pound their best player. I know Bradley Beal is good, and he's going to be able to help hold him down, but he's got to play out of his mind. I mean, out of his mind. I don't know what how many games John Wall's going to lose in these 2 months, but, I mean, they've got to have a damn good winning record. I'd expect them, in order to kind of stay in the hunt to win 60 to 65% of their games, Bradley Beal has to be a big part of that. You know, Kelly Oubre's improving. Otto Porter's been disappointing. You know, but everybody else is going to have to step up. That's just the way – that's the nature of the beast. You know, that's the belly of the beast, I should say. You got to get after it. If your best player's down, we'll see what happens now, you know, and – his knee is wearing out, and hopefully, you know, again, hopefully it's just a small procedure in which it doesn't really affect him long-term either. So I think they can do some special things. They're like a piece or two away from really getting in, but these injuries are torn up. But then even tonight, Kevin Love, he just broke his hand in a game tonight. So it's just like, what the hell is going on around the NBA? You know, you got three stars who suffer injuries all within a matter of days, and Kevin Love is out 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured hand. That's bad for the Cavs. See, the way I'm looking at it is like, you know, he's clearly your second best player. Isaiah Thomas isn't where he needs to be. He's not as effective as everybody thought it would be. They thought it was going to be an even swap, him and Kyrie. He hasn't found his niche. Boston won that deal on the side, just going off on the side about that Kyrie-Isaiah Thomas deal. But now Kevin Love is out. So, McCool Stephen A. Smith, this might be a good thing for Kevin Love. You know, he may be able to get away from the chaos. I don't got to deal with the BS. You can't blame me for nothing. Again, they got to play lights out as well. And then when he's gone, they're going to see the importance of Kevin Love. They're going to see how valuable he is. You know, so all these little stupid reports coming out about getting on him, about leaving, doing this, doing that. You know, it's something happening in that franchise. Like, I don't want to sit there and speculate like, okay, well, look, LeBron isn't like Dan Gilbert. He's leaving. This, that, and the third. Something's going wrong. Start at the top. We're going to skip the GM. We're going to skip Kobe Altman. We're going to go to the top. We're going to go to the guy that owns the team. A lot of uncertainty going on. You know, starting with the whole thing with him trading Kyrie. Kyrie didn't, you know, it was like, why trade him? Why do it? You know, this is LeBron thinking this. Why would you do this? Why would you let him go? But, you know, Kyrie was threatening apparently to not play or whatever the case may be. So, Dan Gilbert has things, and he has things shaky right now. So, everybody's kind of like on pins and needles. You know, we don't know. We'll see how good of a coach Ty Lue is. Hopefully, he makes the right adjustments and, you know, puts the right person in the starting lineup. And make, you know, again, all adjustments are proper. Seems like Jay Crowder probably slide into that spot maybe. I personally would probably put Jeff Green because he has the size. And he's a little bit more athletic. He can do a little. He's a little bit more of a better all-around player than Jay Crowder. Crowder's a bruiser, but Jeff Green's a little smoother than Jay Crowder. But we'll see what move. We'll see what move Ty Lue makes. I mean, this is right here. This is where you're gonna get your money at. This is gonna see if your job gets saved. LeBron comes out every night. You can't ask him to do more than what he does. He puts a Herculean effort in every night. So everybody else has to step up and really put their worth in with this. But you know, those NBA injuries are out of hand, man. Wish all three players the best, and hopefully they heal fast and be back on the court. We'll What's up, y'all? Welcome back. Let's sit there and talk a little bit more basketball. Obviously, you know, you got your man LaVar Ball over in Lithuania, coaching the Suns over there, coaching a few exhibition games. Of course, the media got a hold of him. Then he mentioned something about Steve Kerr. He says Steve Kerr is the Milli Vanilli of coaches, right? So look, I for one, I'm no expert on what a coach should do. I know what a coach should do, but I'm no expert. Coach has never been something I wanted to do. It's not something that I found attractive. And obviously, as a kid, you know, I'm just like, I don't want to do it, you know. It'd be great to help some young dudes. But, right, it's neither here nor there. Steve Kerr walked into a great situation. We're looking at it now. You know, if Draymond didn't get suspended, we'd be looking at a three-time defending NBA champion, you know, in his first couple years on the job. So, but people seem to think it looks easy. People seem to think, like, okay, we got the best shooters in the world in Stephen Clay. You know, we got one of the best all-around players in the game in Draymond Green. We got a guy who could, barring injury, probably going to go down as maybe one of the top two or three scorers in NBA history in Kevin Durant. And then we got a few other pieces that's put together, right? So I think the comment calling Steve Kerr and Milli Vanilli a coach is because Mark Jackson built that team is BS. We all know what Mark did, right? But it was something that Mark couldn't do. That you know, I mean, I know it was rumored that he got into tit for tat with management and they kind of wanted to go another way, you know, but it was something that he couldn't do to get them over the hump. Now, he got them started, but he couldn't get them over that hump. They played the Spurs close. They just couldn't finish them and win those games. They got Steve Kerr. Everything was in place, and granted, the team was banged up. They got Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr made it work. You know what I mean? Mark Jackson was a damn good coach. I hope he gets another chance, particularly in New York. I hope so. He was 121 and 109. When he was coaching the Warriors. The Warriors have been 198 and 45 under Steve Kerr. They won 39 and 4 without him the first half of 2015, 2016 when Luke Walton was coaching them. So just because you have the best ingredients, like you said, you can have the best ingredients, don't mean the meal gonna taste good, like my man Shannon Sharp said today. You know, you gotta have the right chef, the person that can make everything work. Because why? You can have the best ingredients and it will not work. Why do I bring this up? Let's go back to Doug Collins. Had Jordan, had Pippen, right? He had all those guys. What happens? He gets fired. Phil Jackson comes in the next year, gets to the conference finals. The second year in the job, what does he do? He wins the first of 11. You know, granted, it helps you got Michael and Scottie and you got Bill Cartwright and Horace Grant and all those other guys, John Paxson, B.J. Armstrong, and we, you know, I can say they name those Bulls teams. But if it were that easy, Doug Collins would have won. So Doug Collins, although he was a good coach for his time, he did okay. Something he couldn't do that Phil Jackson could do. Phil Jackson was able to bridge the gap. So coaching may look easy, but it's not easy. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, it's really not. You want to look at other coaches? Look at Del Harris. He had a young Shaq and a young Kobe. He would have won a championship. What happened? He couldn't get it done. He got fired. The very next year, who did they bring in to hire? They brought Phil Jackson in. What did he do? He won 5 more rings with the Lakers, right? So it's not about having the best talent. It's about having a guy that can sit there and they can orchestrate it and make these guys work together. I don't know if the Zen Master stuff worked and it was like, oh, Phil's teachings is what made Shaq and Kobe come together, because we know that that probably had nothing to do with it. Phil knows his X's and O's. You know, he had Tex Winter with him. Triangle helps. Triangle's even better when you got superstars running it. You know what I mean? So you look at all these great coaches. Look at Pat Riley. Stan Van Gundy wasn't working out. What happened? Riley took over. What did he do that year? They won a championship, right? Pat Riley was in New York. I forget who was in New York before Pat Riley. I think it was Stu Jackson, maybe. I'd have to go back and double check. What happened? The culture of the New York Knicks changed completely. Completely. These guys had the same roster. That 92 Knicks team, the 91-92 Knicks team that played the Bulls, the defending champion, and played them in 7 games in the second round, added Xavier McDaniel. The grit and the toughness of that team, Pat Riley, he threw it in. I mean, we were always tough. But, I mean, Pat Riley's the reason why those teams were tough. So, for him to say something like that was an insult. And I get it. I like the dude, man. But he does too goddamn much. You know what I mean? Like, knock it off. You know, knock it off. And we get it. Like, we know you're over there. You don't got to keep making, you know, you don't got to keep making noise. You're coaching. He's feeling himself a little bit. You can put him on a Warriors bench. I doubt he could do what Steve Kerr did. I mean, you got to love LaVar for always speaking out and saying what he has to say, but it's like, come on, enough is enough, man. Stop talking, man. You can't say that about Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's a damn good coach. I mean, hell, if it was that easy, Scott Brooks would have finished the Warriors off a few years ago when they won 73 games and they were up 3-1. So just because you got the best talent, and you got a nice lead, don't always mean you're going to finish and come through. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Today's show is sponsored by Troy Manson's Signature Socks, where their slogan is Stand Out From The Socks Up. Come visit their website at www.tmsocks.com and check out all of their classic and sleek styles, as well as the Josh Malone and Joe Lockett Signature Series. You can also get ahead of everyone and get your socks for the spring as the new 2018 spring collection is available for pre-order. They've been featured in the GQ British magazine as well as the Huffington Post, so you know I couldn't pass on getting myself a pair. Troy Manson Signature Socks, the official sock of the Jamon Bolton Show. Let's take our attention over basketball for a minute. Let's talk about what's going on at Michigan State. You know, as we know, we had the scumbag Larry Nassar get sentenced to the rest of his natural life in prison. But, you know, behind the Larry Nassar scandal, there's also been other scandals of the university swept under the rug. Now, again, I'm not the most outspoken on certain things. And, you know, some things I'm more vocal about than others. But one thing that I do speak about is just, like, violence against women and things of that nature. You know, for me, I always look at certain things and I say, well, how could somebody do that? And maybe that's because I just don't have that kind of, I don't have that kind of makeup. You know, the way I'm made up, I'm not going to strike a woman. No matter how mad you get me, I'm not going to strike a woman because physically I know what I can do to a woman if I hit a woman. You know, that's number one. Number two, I just don't have it in me to do that. Like, that's just not who I am as a person. Like, I don't hit a woman for what? You know, so as you're reading all these things, like about former Michigan State, you know, player Travis Walton, he was a coach as well. He had two incidents when he was on campus, and two incidents involved females. One incident, he supposedly hit a young lady at a bar. And I kind of looked at her story on OTL yesterday, and she was talking about how he walked up to them and tried to talk, and a girl was like, kind of like, excuse us, we're kind of talking. He was like, you know who I am? Kind of made himself to seem to be bigger than what he actually was, and it was just like, she's like, no, I don't know who you are, but excuse us. And he kind of took offense to it. You know, sometimes the male ego can be very fragile. And I guess he took extreme offense to it because he knocked her out. Not knocked her out, but he punched off a bar stool. And, you know, the case kind of got pushed to the side. You know, he got taken into custody for it. It got pushed off as something very minuscule. You know, and then you're reading about these things and you're just hearing about it. Like, he was able to continue to coach. He was, you know, he was, and it's just like people knew about this stuff. And it's like, how do you let this stuff go on? You know, like, you're a great institution academically, athletically, you're off the charts. You got some, you know, some pretty prominent alumni out here in the world, and you let this thing happen? It's a shame, you know what I'm saying? Then he also got accused, you know, Travis Walton, he gets accused for rape, like a gang rape. It's like, how do you put yourself in these situations? And how do you do this? How do you behave this way? You know what I mean? And then to top it off, you still kind of have a job. So to quote Magic Johnson, it's like anybody who was aware of this needs to be held accountable. I mean, I get it. Mark D'Antonio's, you know, the football coach at Michigan State. You know, his players. He has 16 football players. They have situations involving women. You know, he's been there for a little bit, but it's still like, address these things. You know, like, they're doing their due diligence to get things hidden so the media doesn't get a hold of it. Take care of things in-house first. Get rid of those perpetrators, guys that are hitting women, guys that are raping women. You shouldn't have this. Should be a zero tolerance policy as far as these things that go on, like sexual assault and battery against a woman. Like, just period. I don't get that. You know, like I seen a press conference the other day with Tom Izzo after the Maryland game, and it seemed like he was startled when I was asking him questions. And I get it. When the heat is on, it's just like, damn, like, you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do. But if he's had anything to do with this or knew of any of this and kind of turned a blind eye, it's kind of paternal-ish. You know what I'm saying? Not that extreme. It's still bad, right? Let me say this. It's still very bad what's happened. But, it's Jerry Sandusky's a monster in his own right. But paternal knew. So paternal would have said, hey, let me just say something. Let me knock this shit, nip it in the butt right now. You're fired. You're gone. We don't want nothing to do with it. Let me report you. This whole Penn State thing would have been saved. We could have avoided all this. They would have avoided those penalties. They would have avoided all embarrassment that it put on. The paternal family would have been able to have their name restored. Joe Paul would have been looked upon and frowned upon. But Izzo looked like he was hiding something. You know, and for me, it's like he's a guy that seems to have like strong character. He runs a clean program. He does the right thing. But it's just like, you know, you're looking at these things. It's like they both got to get it together, D'Antonio and Izzo. You know, and it's like the institution as a whole. Like, if the guys at the top knew what's going on, like, somebody deserves to lose their job. I know the president resigned. I think there's a few more people that resigned after her. But it's just like, come on, guys. Like, be for real. You know, like, what are we doing here? You know, like, it's pretty shitty. It leaves you speechless when you think about it, because it's like nobody should have to suffer for it. A female shouldn't have to go through that stuff. You got hit in the face, and then she says she's looking on TV and seeing them coaching still. It's kind of like an insult to her. Like, well, damn, are you going to do anything? So I understand. We have to understand where they come from when they say, look, why? Yeah, me too. Like, that's it. They need to be respected more, man. Like, surprised at Michigan State for letting it slip by. You know, but nothing should be overlooked, man. No violence against women at all. Should never be condoned. Yeah, I got some interesting news coming out of MLB today. I just found out that the Cleveland Indians are going to change their logo. They're going to stop using the Chief Wahoo logo on the uniforms beginning 2019, according to MLB. They said the popular symbol was no longer appropriate for use on the field. You know what I mean? So the Redskins are also another team that's been kind of vilified for doing so. But I appreciate the Indians for doing so. It's just one of those things where a lot of Native Americans aren't really feeling it. You know, it's not something that they love. They don't love to really see it, really. You know, and it's a cartoonish caricature, you know, of a Native American, Chief Wahoo is. He's assumed a uniform for many years. He's first appeared in 1948, so it's kind of time to retire it now as you look at it. Like, it's time for a change. You know, like, I know over the past year, like, Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, he's pressured Paul Dolan, the Indians chairman, to make the change, and he's listening. So I respect it. Whereas most owners like a Dan Snyder, he's like, I'm not budging. You got guys like this gentleman, he's willing to make the change. And it's been some heated debate about it. Looking at First Take today, you know, Will Keane and Max Kellerman got on it. They were getting into it with each other. It was just a heated, you know, great heated sports debate. And Will Keane was like, well, it doesn't really bother many people. And Max Kellerman was like, but what about the ones it does bother? It may not bother a whole group of people. It may not bother a whole bunch of, you know, the Native Americans. There may be some that accept it. But what about the ones that don't accept it? They shouldn't have to deal with that. It's offensive to some of them. They don't like seeing it. They don't like, you know, they don't like that crap. You know, so Max says he gets thanked a lot when he goes. He gets a lot of thanks and gets a lot of gifts when he goes to his Indian reservations to call the fights. And people are thanking him for speaking up and using his voice. You got to respect the people who have these platforms. They need to say something about it, and it's pretty cool, you know? So, you know, it's pretty awesome. Hopefully everybody follows suit, like the Redskins, and maybe Florida State will do so after that. You know, we don't really know. Again, the Redskins are just, they're kind of in their own world because they got an owner that's kind of in his own world, you know what I mean? So, but after this year, man, they're going to change everything. So I'm interested to see what logo they go with, man. But definitely shout out to the Indians and their front office for making this move. So boxing fans have just been given an early gift. They've got the rematch that everybody wanted, that Canelo and Triple G rematch, which will be happening May 5th. We don't have, you know, I'm sure it's in Las Vegas, but we don't have a location where it's going to be held. But we know May 5th for sure. I mean, I can't wait. You know what I mean? I'm a boxing fan. I can't sit there and say I'm a boxing purist and I know everything front to back. I don't. But I know a good fight when I see one. And that last fight, it was amazing. So I personally had the last fight. I had it 7-5 Canelo, but it could have gone either way. So I wasn't upset with the draw. I didn't think it was a completely dominated fight either way. I don't think Triple G dominated him. I don't think Canelo dominated him either. I will say Canelo didn't get hit a lot. He didn't get hit with those hard punches that Triple G is known for throwing. So that's the thing. You give Canelo another shot, is the result going to be different this time around? I mean, these are two warriors, you know, two sluggers, two guys that are not afraid to stand in there and mix it up with you. That's just kind of like the thing right now. I'm looking at it like, you know, Canelo in the rematch might be a tad bit scarier. You know, he's going to probably get after Triple G a little bit more. He knows what to expect. Again, he's got that lineage. He's a Mexican fighter. These guys are known. I mean, they're tough fighters, man. They've always been tough fighters historically. You know, you look at Julio Cesar Chavez and all the other Mexican fighters like that. Chavez is the one I'm most familiar with, obviously. You know, because when I was growing up, it was all about Chavez. He was one of the biggest fighters in the world. And it was like, you know, then you got Canelo. You know, Oscar De La Hoya is a Mexican-American, you know what I mean? But he's still a part of that lineage. These guys are tough. They're tough as nails. And Canelo fits that mold, you know? His only loss is to Floyd Mayweather. I mean, not a bad loss to have. But he was young and he got schooled. But, you know, he's a bull now. He wants everything and wants everyone. And I love about him, he doesn't back down. And I love the fact that Oscar De La Hoya and his people, and Triple G and his people, they're getting this fight done. You know what I mean? Because, again, we can all sit there and agree that Pacquiao Mayweather fight happened a few years too late. You know, we'd have caught them at the beginning of that, you know, when everything was getting hyped up. I think it would have been a lot better fight. We kind of caught Pacquiao in the back end, and it really wasn't the same anymore. It wasn't as exciting as you caught Pacquiao coming off that Ricky Hatton victory,
We had a lot of momentum, and it was like, yo, he wasn't scared of anything. He was walking into everything. You hit him two or three times, he hitting you five or six. We missed a lot of that. So that fight was kind of boring. So I'm glad we don't got to relive that nonsense with this right now. So they're going to get it on. You know, they're going to fight. Nobody's avoiding each other. And we're going to see what happened. You know, so, you know, it's a fight a year right after everything happened. So the sport needs to kind of keep rejuvenating the sport. You know, everything is getting on. Everybody, they got the right people in charge now. You know, you got a guy like Oscar De La Hoya. He's going to make these fights happen. You know, we're not trying to monopolize things. They're trying to make it happen. They're trying to make the sport grow and make it better for everyone involved. So looking forward to this fight. I cannot wait. I will be tuned in. May 5th is going to be on. Two warriors, you know, two gladiators, they're going to go at it, and they're going to make it happen. So we can just sit back, relax, thank the powers that be in boxing for making this fight happen. The fans have got what they wanted, what they deserve, and it's on. Cannot wait. So I got a little bit of NFL news. And, you know, we all know it's Super Bowl week and Super Bowl media day, which is kind of like ridiculous, but that's just another story, and, you know, in itself, like the dumb questions they've been asking people. But let's talk about this trade that went down this evening. Trade won't be official to the start of the new league, new year, on March 14th. But the Washington Redskins traded for Alex Smith. You know, Alex Smith's Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. He's going over to Washington, and the Redskins will give Kansas City a third-round pick and their quarterback, Kendall Fuller. In return, Alex Smith is, you know, he's going to sign a 4-year extension worth $94 million. With $71 million guaranteed, which is the third most ever for a DB. So, you know, hey, like a third most ever for a QB. My apologies, but hey, he's what many consider to be a game manager, like a safe quarterback, a guy that's not really a gunslinger. He's had some success in his career. You know, he's been pretty good at that quote unquote game manager, like with that game manager moniker and the label that they've put on him. But I mean, I don't know what they're doing with this deal. I can't really sit there and tell you. I just know if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'd be like, God damn it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll make you look at them like, yo, y'all crazy as hell and y'all funny as hell for that bullshit y'all did. But me personally, I don't have a football team like that. I'm more of a college football guy. But I'm going to say this. If you're the Jets, man, get on the phone with Kirk Cousins. Like, I mean, I don't see what you got to lose. Not like it's Christian Hackenberg and he can't get on the field. Like, you got to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the Jets, I'd say. But, go ahead and make that deal, man. You know, Washington, if they can surround Alex Smith with some decent pieces, they might be on to something, you know, but you got to get a quarterback that you feel comfortable with. I guess they just felt like they couldn't win with Kirk Cousins anymore, and I guess this was the right move. So, since Kirk's going to be a free agent, I'd say Woody Johnson, open up your checkbook, give him a call, see what he's asking for, and try to make it happen, man. I think that's the only thing you can do at this point, John. That's just what I feel. You know what I mean? He's pretty decent. I mean, the numbers are okay. I don't have numbers in front of me right now, but they're pretty solid. But hey, let me move over to the Super Bowl again. Like, I was just sitting there thinking about this. Like, what am I going to say? What am I going to predict? How am I going to predict this game, right? I say this. Look, I'm off in history, right? I love the fact that I'm living through history. I got the chance to see a lot of great athletes in my life. I got to see Jordan every time again. You know, first retirement, second retirement. You know, that last time. I got to see Jordan in all three phases of his career. I got to see Shaq. I got to see Kobe. You know, I got to see a bunch of, you know, I got to see Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux. I got to see everybody in every sport. You know, Tiger Woods. I mean, hell, I've seen it all. And I'm all for history. You know, Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. And I say to myself, damn, he would have had seven rings if it wasn't for the Giants. And I'd love to see him win his sixth ring against the Eagles, right? However, this city's been starving for a champion. Yeah, they had the Phillies won a World Series. They won a World Series in 08. You know, it counts as a major championship for the city, but it's not the same as if, you know, if the 76ers or the Eagles win. So I'm gonna go on the ledge. I'm gonna go close to the ledge, and I'm gonna go out there, and I'm gonna say, listen, I think Philly's gonna win this one. It's gonna be a close one. I think Nick Foles been playing great. The way he's been balling, he's probably gonna write himself a $50-60 million guaranteed check from an NFL team. Somebody's gonna take a chance on him, I think, especially if he wins the Super Bowl. I'm gonna go Philly in the close one. I don't know how close it's going to be. I can't tell you. But the way they're playing, that defense is pumped up. But Garrett Blunt's playing against his old team. You know, it's look, these guys are ready. I think it's ready, right? So, we'll see. But I'm going to go with Philly. I'm going to stick with Philly. I've been wrong before, but hell. You know, why not, right? and some more football news before we get out of here, man. The XFL is back. You know, this time around, Vince McMahon said it'll be gimmick-free. It's going to run in a 10-week schedule starting in January of 2020. And it won't interfere with the NFL, obviously. You know, he's putting $100 million into it. I mean, he's got the money to do it, obviously. He's doing it by himself. Nobody else is involved. It's all his brainchild. But, you know, it's got a few rules I don't like. Players got to stand for the national anthem. Can't have a felony to play in the league. 8 teams to start, 40-man rosters. Trying to control the game, two-hour game control, so there probably won't be a lot of TV timeouts. There probably won't be a lot of, you know, it won't be a lot of timeouts on the field, probably a running clock. But it'll be interesting to see how it works out this time. The first time it was very gimmicky with the whole concept was different. But I'm interested to see what he comes up with this time around. You know, Vince McMahon's a genius. He only transformed the sport of wrestling. So looking forward to seeing what he has in store for us, and looking forward to see what the XFL brings. Looking forward to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. And looking forward to see what the Redskins do, what Alex Smith is their quarterback, and looking to see what Kirk Cousins ends up. Again, before I get out of here, I want to say thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys tuning in. You know, all the supporters appreciate it. If you get a chance, man, go to iTunes and go to your podcast, and then punch in the Jamon Bolton Show and hit subscribe for me if you can, man. I appreciate it. Every little bit counts. Hope you guys get a chance to do that for me when you can. But before I get out of here, I want to talk about 3 basketball players. One's in college, 2 in the NBA. Just, you know, 3, you know, 2 accomplishments in the NBA and 1 major college player. Let's, you know, I start with the college player. I start with Trae Young. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. This kid is the real deal. If you haven't had a chance to watch him, please do so and check him out. I mean, his team's number 12 in the country, leading the nation in scoring and assists, 44 points, 9 assists. I mean, what more can you ask from a college freshman? You know, you're hearing the comparisons to Steph Curry. He's better than Steph as a freshman. They're saying, you know, he's more developed as far as his game goes. But, you know, we'll see what he does on the next level. But for now, I'm going to say he's my pick to be college player of the year. I mean, the kid is phenomenal. It's going to be scary to play in March. So anybody runs to Oklahoma in March, be prepared. He's on a big stage. The world is watching. He's going to light your ass up. I got a feeling it's going to happen to some team. So don't be surprised if he carries Oklahoma in the tournament, man. The kid's got that kind of potential, man. Also want to shout out James Harden, who set a franchise record tonight with 60 points. But not only did he do that, he had the first 60-point triple-double in NBA history. 60 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. Pretty phenomenal, if you ask me. So, you know, the guy, and he's back. He's trying to win the MVP. Right now, there's no clear-cut favorite. I think if the Warriors, I think if the Rockets can kind of get back to their winning ways a little bit more, kind of get another win streak in them, I think he may have a legitimate chance. But, you know, I think Steph Curry's in the running as well. But this 60-point triple-double kind of stands out, man. Pretty phenomenal. And I also want to send a congratulations out to Carmelo Anthony. You know, a few days ago, he scored a 25,000 career point. And I look at Melo, you know, before I get off on this in the show, I look at Melo as a guy, and people say, he doesn't win much. He doesn't do this. Look, he carried Denver. He carried the Knicks. He's in a new situation right now. And OKC, he doesn't do much. He doesn't have to score a lot, right? So I don't know what turn he wants to take for his career. Personally, with Melo, the only problem I've ever had with him is when he didn't take that opt-out, that deal that LeBron and D-Wade and those guys took in order to be free agent in summer 2010. Melo had to wait another year. He ended up in New York. With all due respect to Chris Bosh, I still say Melo should have gone to Miami and got those rings with them. And then go to Miami, get those 3 rings. And then after that, summer comes up when it's time to go back home. You can go back to New York and you can kind of try to build something over in New York, you know. That would have been a logical thing to do because you can go to New York, get buckets, but you got 2 rings in your pocket while you're doing so. He's going to unfairly get labeled, but Melo's one of the best to ever do it. You know, he's got that bully ball style, one of the best scorers in league history, you know, somebody I've enjoyed watching. I just hope the last part of his career, this next move that he makes, he's real strategic about it. Hopefully he teams up with his boy LeBron and he can get in a situation in which he's going to have a chance to compete for a ring. That's what it's about. At this point, you made all the money you can make, you know, and you've done everything you can do. Now you just want to win. So I don't know if OKC is going to be able to get a ring. It's going to be hard to attract major free agents there. And I don't know if he's going to want to stay. So stay tuned to that, man. But before I go, officially, want to shout out to my guys at Troy Manson Socks for hooking me up, blessing me with some good gear. Thank you guys for everything. I want to give a shout out to my man Cal Griffin at All Things Hoops. If you're looking for anything to follow as far as basketball on all levels, go check him out. Go holler at him. He's on Twitter at allthingshoops. He's got the website allthingshoops.com. And if you have Instagram, he's on allthings_hoops. So check him out, follow him. He's covering the game from all levels. You know, he's trying to push the culture forward, doing the right thing. Go show him some love, man. Again, I'm Jamon Bolton. This is the Jamon Bolton Show. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll speak to you guys in a few days. Peace.